is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're broadcasting today from San Antonio, Texas, and we're here because this is where the Southern Baptists are meeting every year. Southern Baptists meet in a city for their annual convention, and there are several thousand Southern Baptists here in San Antonio for the meeting of the 2007 Southern Baptist Convention. Now, just about every time this year, the media gets ready for an entire network of these denominational meetings. Every year, you can count on a major Presbyterian gathering of both the Presbyterian Church USA and the Presbyterian Church in America and the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Every 4 years, major meetings of the United Methodist Church. And, of course, you have all the rest of these meetings. A lot of eyes will be on meetings in the Episcopal Church in coming weeks having to do with controversies there, Lutheran denominations as well. On the left, on the Protestant left, you've got all kinds of things going on, including the continuing battle over homosexuality. And that is one of those unsettled issues among the more liberal denominations. And because of that, just about every time they're together, that is one of the leading causes of controversy. That's not going to be true on the floor of the Southern Baptist Convention. The SBC, representing about 40,000 churches and about 16 million members, is a denomination that has experienced in recent years a turn to the right, a recovery of the very affirmation of biblical inerrancy, and because of that has taken very unambiguously conservative stands on issues related to abortion, homosexuality, and an entire host of related issues. There are now some younger Southern Baptists who are beginning to wonder if maybe the SBC has hit too many of those controversial issues for too long. I have a young pastor with me here in the studio today. Scott Lamb is pastor of the Providence Baptist Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Scott, is it accurate to say there are some who are beginning to wonder if the convention was right to have taken these positions?
Well, I think that there are, Dr. Mohler, and I think that the thing that they have to do is come to a convention like this and to get plugged in and to sit on the floor of the convention and to see the exciting opportunities for missions here, both in the North American atmosphere and also on the international front. And I, for one, am excited when I come to the Southern Baptist Convention because, yes, there's the debate that goes on, and you know, you can tell there's some factions and competing groups. But then when you get up there and you see the video presentations of where the Quadra program dollars are going, and that is what really excites me, as well as an opportunity to rekindle with old friends and to even meet new ones and to hear new ideas about how guys my own age are going out there into environments similar to mine and different than mine and taking the gospel in this postmodern culture.
So is there some kind of generational shift going on in the SBC?
Well, I hope not. I hope not for the sake of our cooperation in missions. I hope that my own generation will see that even though there is a difference of opinion on some things, that there is such a fundamental unity that can be found on the gospel, a real together for the gospel, so to say, and that can take place even in a large deliberative body like the Southern Baptist Convention. And so it's, you know, yes, they have the option of bowing out, but where are they going to go? You know, are they just going to, you know, if they're Baptist, are they just going to become independent Baptist? Are they going to go to another denomination?
Some actually have the hope of kind of luring the Southern Baptist Convention in their direction. And let's talk about that for a moment, because I think we need to distinguish between a shift in tone and a shift in truth. And I think there are some who would push the latter, wishing that perhaps the Southern Baptist Convention would ameliorate its convictions on issues ranging from biblical inerrancy and some of the hot-button issues of the day. But there are others who are saying, no, I think maybe the convention needs to adopt a different tone. Is there a difference there?
Well, you know, I think that perhaps sometimes the tone has a little bit of rancor in it, and perhaps some of the things that particularly the way that the secular press presents what we do at the convention, you know, it is not always in a favorable position. And yet some of those that are most adamantly calling for a different tone have absolutely no respect for the generation that's gone before us. And I don't have any part in that. You know, when men have spent 30 and 40 years, you know, toiling blood, sweat, and tears for the conservative resurgence to then turn around and 5 years later, because they're now 30 and they're 35 years old, and they say malicious things, they say ungodly things, and it shows no respect for the generation that has given us the opportunity to have a convention that we're proud of, seminaries that we're proud of, And I can't imagine where I'd be if it wasn't for the conservative resurgence. And yes, we move forward, but we move forward on the foundation of the inerrancy of Scripture, now fleshing out what it means to have a sufficient Scripture. But we don't move away from that. We just continue to build on that. And I'm not sure that all in my generation are calling for that. I think they want to move perhaps in a different way.
Well, I think that's very well stated. I think that there is an ambition on the part of some to say, look, the battles of old are over and we need to move on. I wrote an article for World Magazine published just this week making the argument that that's an ironic argument to make a few feet from the Alamo.
Right.
I mean, here we are in San Antonio, Texas. The convention met here last 1988, where it was a very contested election. That was back in the heat of the conservative resurgence battle, where the future of the denomination really was hanging in the balance. And even though there were over 30,000 registered messengers, the decision between two presidential candidates came down to a margin of 692 votes, which was very, very thin. Now, that's almost 20 years ago. 20 years later, I made the remark, and I didn't mean any insult by this, it's just an absolute fact. Some of the people who were playing Little League then now want to change the game when they arrive, and now they're in their 20s and pastors, young 30s, pastors of churches. I hope there is a maturity that sinks in that understands that, yes, a new generation is coming into leadership, and that's inevitable, but we hope that they will continue in their own way on the foundation that has been so hard fought and hard won.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that I would hope that the most of the young men who would like to see more reform go in the Southern Baptist Convention, I would hope that they just take the Bible in one hand and go into the pulpit and preach the gospel week in and week out, because, you know, really ultimately it's going to be about whether the local church is reformed by the Word of God and the gospel of God. And sometimes I get a little, I don't understand why there's such a desire to reform, perhaps, you know, the large agencies of the convention, and yet at the local level, you know, there's such a looseness with the Scriptures and a looseness with the gospel, and, you know, I see a disconnect there.
And one of the things we need to admit, I wish Southern Baptists were talking about some of the issues that really ought to have our concern. I mean, we are a denomination, and when I introduced the Southern Baptist Convention a moment ago, I mentioned we have 16 million members, so we can find about half of those.
Right. There's definitely a way to go about reform that's godly, and there's a way to go about reform that is ungodly. And, you know, if you have a good idea of what needs to take place, but you do it with in an ungodly fashion, then I think it really discredits what you're trying to do. And I would hope that the younger generation looks to the leaders of yesteryear for their not only their content, but also for their way in which to go about
that. Now, let me ask you a question. How committed do you see the generation in their, say, 20s and 30s to evangelism in the Great Commission?
Well, most of the ones that I know are young men from places like Midwestern Seminary and Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. So maybe I live in a little bit of a bubble, but these guys are very committed. And that's why I have great hope for my generation, because the vast majority of guys I know have been trained under seminaries that have already been turned around to a faithful gospel. And so I've got a lot of hope. Perhaps I'm just in a bubble of great young men that are gospel believers and hold to a high view of Scripture. But I would hope that would be the future.
Now, let me ask you, let's say you're headed on the plane back to St. Louis, and the person sitting next to you is a Christian, a believer, and says, you were just at the meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. What would you tell that person as to why they should care what goes on here?
Well, because the Southern Baptist Convention offers an awesome opportunity to come together, to fellowship with other believers, to get a lot of encouragement, you know, when you see about where the gospel has gone into new people groups and the new language groups in foreign context. And it gives you an opportunity to get very excited and then to take that back home to your own congregation and to tell them, you know, I was down in San Antonio, they were telling us about what they've done. And every year that passes, things are advancement of the gospel is taking place.
You write a book review blog. Tell us about it.
Well, I write wisdomofthepages.com, and Don Hinkle of The Pathway, the Missouri Baptist Convention newspaper, gave me an opportunity to write book reviews, and now we also, you know, publish them online.
So how can listeners find you?
Well, you can just go to wisdomofthepages.com, and I put out a lot of book reviews, a noble endeavor, I would hope.
It is a noble endeavor, and I love your site, and we share a common love for books as well. We'll talk about that sometime in the future. Scott Lamb is pastor of Providence Baptist Church in St. Louis, Missouri, and it's a privilege to have him here on the program today. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a Christian understanding of beauty, and this kind of beauty meaning physical beauty. We're going to be looking at controversy over the fact that So many people seem to be seeking cosmetic surgery, now even hand lifts, in order to deny the reality of age. This is a classic rebroadcast of an episode of the Albert Mueller Program. It's back by demand as others wanted to hear what was said. I think it's an important issue. Folks, it is important what takes place here. No denomination is an island. That's why we had this conversation today about why you should care what goes on at the Southern Baptist Convention. And one of the most important things we can do as Christians is to pray for each other and to pray for other denominations and for other churches by name strategically, that Christ will be glorified in His church and that His church will be established in truth. We'll be back with a classic conversation about the Christian understanding of beauty in just a moment. From San Antonio, Texas, I'm Albert Mueller.
Is the best of the Albert Mueller Program.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Jonathan Thompson, writing in The Independent, one of Britain's major newspapers, writes, hands up if you've had cosmetic surgery. Here's how he begins the article. They've had the tummy tuck, chin tightening, Botox jabs, face and bottom lifts, but to the appearance obsessed, those scrawny telltale fingers will give away their true age. But now help is at hand. Cosmetic surgery has finally reached the ends of the arms. Hand rejuvenation is the new must-have procedure. These hand lifts are achieved by one of two methods, either fat transfer from elsewhere in the body or mesotherapy, injecting cosmetic filler similar to those used on the face. Wrinkled bony hands with prominent veins and deep grooves suddenly become plump and healthy looking. These hand lifts are now being done routinely, not only in Great Britain, but in the United States. One cosmetic plastic surgeon, this is Dr. Simon Withy, said, quote, a lot of them, that is women, are afraid that their hands give away their age, particularly if they've had other work done. So this is one of the problems that is now faced in the aesthetic surgery business. You can have one part of the body cosmetically or aesthetically enhanced, but if you don't keep all the other parts up to date, you could have, 30-year-old, face and 50-year-old hands. This is obviously a problem to someone. Someone is spending billions of dollars a year. And, of course, when it comes right down to it, it's all about beauty. David Pallison, prominent Christian writer and counselor, writes, 100 years ago, women might have compared themselves with the other 10 girls in the village. Today, women compare themselves with pictures of the cream of the worldwide fashion industry. And so it's this comparison that really creates a problem. But I'm going to go further and say it's not just comparison. It's not just the supermodels where they're airbrushed and artificially enhanced appearance. It's also a bias against age. I mean, this is where the hand thing comes in. This is where the impulse for hand lifts comes in. People want to deny the ravages, the effects, the glory of age. The Independent story I find really, really fascinating. According to this article, the hand lift procedure costs several hundred dollars. It's very simple, according to this article. There are hand lift clinics coming, perhaps one to your neighborhood. Hand lifts are done with injectable fillers. They're three sessions of 5 to 10 minutes over 6 weeks. Now, unsurprisingly, the vast majority of patients having these procedures done are women. One woman who had it done said, now I feel incredibly confident. You won't hear me complaining about my hands anymore. Now I'll be whining about something else, like my eye bags. Well, I think in one sense women do this to themselves. I think in another sense this is done to them. I think we as fallen human beings tend to confuse beauty to such an extent that we will entice, encourage, perhaps even demand that women have procedures done in order that they be cosmetically, aesthetically, surgically, therapeutically enhanced to make them appear otherwise than they normally would. I just want to argue that from a Christian worldview perspective, this is deeply sick. That the impulse behind this is not one that glorifies God, but rather one that glorifies human beauty, which the Bible says is passing in the first place. In the book of Proverbs, in the very last proverb, chapter 31, we have here advice about true beauty and true womanhood. The last two verses of the book of Proverbs read this way, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." The Bible says the most important aspect of beauty isn't external at all. As a matter of fact, external appearances can lie. Distorted beauty is deadly. As a matter of fact, we are told that that which is a delight to the eyes is often a threat to the soul. That was true of the fruit of the forbidden tree in the garden. And, of course, it's true, even as Solomon told his son, of the deceitfulness of beauty of a woman who would entice a young man into adultery or fornication or sexual sin. You know, in these days, it has a lot to do with the fact that we are raising generations of young men who think that women are supposed to look like the pornographic images they see on a screen. They are not told that that is not true womanhood. No pornographer is going to say to them, this is highly artistically enhanced. This is computer generated. This is done with an airbrush. This is done with lighting. This is done with surgery. No one is talking about the unreality of all of this. And it's leading to a deep confusion. I think it's leading to a deep confusion that is especially harmful to women and young girls. And I want to say today, as I look at this kind of development, I think it's especially harmful to older women as well. Older women should be honored for their age, respected for their experience. They should be honored for their interior beauty, which should be far more important to Christians than to these artificial external perspectives. I mean, anyone who is looking in terms of a woman's value to the appearance of her hands, thinking that the hands betray her age, is betraying their own utter superficiality and unbiblical worldview. The hands of a woman who will show the effects of age are the hands of a woman who has probably used those hands. She has probably used those hands to tend babies, to change diapers, to cook and prepare meals, to clean, to care, to tend, to nurture. They are hands that have earned that appearance. And I think to see those hands as ugly rather than as beautiful is to show how we have been utterly deluded by the spirit of the age and utterly deluded by the enticement of the eyes. I'd love to know what you think about this. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is the kind of conversation we desperately need to have, because out there in this audience, there are a good number of women who are receiving the message, perhaps even from some of the people they most value in their lives, that what matters is external beauty. Nicole Whitaker is the daughter of C.J. Mahaney, my dear friend of Covenant Life Ministries. In an article she wrote and posted at the weblog she does with her sisters and mother, the weblog, by the way, is known as Girl Talk, a blog that is found at girltalk.blogs.com. She wrote an article about 2 years ago with the question, beautiful is better? And she starts talking about this confusion that just really harms women, young and old. She asked this question, so what difference should the gospel make in how we think about beauty today? She says, first, instead of complaining to the mirror about our imperfect body, let's consider how we can live for Christ by trusting him and serving others. True joy will inevitably follow. And secondly, if we're tempted to envy or self-righteously judge the beautiful, immodestly dressed coworker, classmate, or fellow mom for the attention they receive, let's pray for them instead that they too would find true joy in Christ. By the way, Nicole Whitaker, I believe, is recently the mother of Victoria Carolyn Whitaker, born just a few days ago. Congratulations to Nicole and to her husband and to CJ and Carolyn Mahaney. Congratulations on this post as well. I think this article gets right to the heart of the issue. We're either going to look at beauty from a biblical perspective, which means, as I've often said on this program, that we are the only people, perhaps the only people on earth who understand that the true, the beautiful, the good, and the real are the same thing. The true, the beautiful, the good, and the real are all the same thing. That which is truly beautiful is genuinely good. It's genuinely real, and it's telling us the truth. You know, do we ever think about the fact that cosmetic surgery is just a way of lying with the skin? Our appearance should say something. And the appearance of age should actually say something that we value. The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We've got callers calling in. I'd love to hear what you think 877-893-TALK, coast to coast and with listeners around the world. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Of the Albert Mueller Program. We won't be taking your phone calls today, but stay tuned for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mueller is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I'm absolutely convinced that my wife is truly beautiful. But, you know, I know that that beauty is also filtered through some other expectations. Every time I look at her, I see as my wife, I see as the one who loves me in good times and bad. I see the mother of my children. I see one who gives herself in so many ways to such incredible ministry and service. I see the woman who tells me when she knows that someone's in particular need of prayer or concern or something like that, so that I can actually do my job because she knows before I know all these kind of things. The women's network is so much better. I see the woman upon whom I absolutely depend, and when I look at her hands, when I look at her face, when I look at her hair, I see beauty. And I also see that she is no longer the very young 20-something bride that I married, and I'm glad of that. I just think she gets... Well, you know the old commercial, you're not getting older, you're getting better. I think that's wrong. I think you get older and better. Because beauty is a matter of what one earns with the hard experience as well as what one is given by God. Let's go to Beth calling from Hardinsburg, Indiana. Go ahead, Beth.
Hello, Mr. Mueller. Thank you. I just had to tell you that hearing this perspective from a man means absolutely everything to us as women who are getting older, and we don't look 21 anymore, and especially my hands. I had gotten into it even myself of looking at my hands and saying, God, I'm getting old. And even what you said today specifically about aging hands being something to be honored, that feels so good to hear.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Well, Beth, thank you for your call, and I do just want to encourage you to see yourself, those hands, as what you have earned. Beth, I hope you're still with me here. Are you a mom?
Yes, I'm here. I'm actually mother of five children.
Well, I can just imagine those hands have seen a whole lot of tending for babies and giving baths and doing all the rest of these things. And you know, those hands then become a testimony of what the Lord has allowed you to do and what you've done in faithfulness out of love. And so, you know, I would simply say to you, you should look at those hands as matters of pride. And I would say to those who know you and love you, they should look to those hands as truly beautiful hands. And if that encourages you, that encourages me.
Thank you so much. And I enjoy your show. And just hearing that specifically from a man, that feels fantastic. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that word, Beth. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Eric calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, sir. Thank you for this topic. And I'd like to say I agree absolutely, wholeheartedly with the point that you are making. I think this trend is just absolutely ludicrous. I think it's totally pursuit of the world. And as I try to pursue a Christian heart and understand Christianity and try to grow my heart more and more in that, it seems even more and more ridiculous. And the stress that it puts on, I have two young daughters, I think it's just absolutely unfair. And as far as men, I think it distorts their expectations of women and the relationships with women, and I think it's probably evident in our divorce rate and premarital rampant premarital sex. Just, you know, I really appreciate you discussing this topic.
Well, you know, sometimes people whose worldview we reject are right on certain elements, and I would have to say, Eric, that I think one of the points you're making is that when the feminists say that that men create an idol and an abstraction of beauty, and then cause great harm to women by it. I think they're onto something there, And, you know, I especially appreciate your comments as the father of young daughters. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think what you're saying to me is you want to raise your daughters to be beautiful on the inside, knowing that it will work its way out, not just beautiful on the outside, hoping that it'll work its way in. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I'm also saying the stress, you know,
yeah,
that it puts on them to be something maybe that they're not, you know. Maybe they won't accept themselves for how they look. Maybe they'll feel inadequate in some point. And you know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm a man. I mean, I'm susceptible to desire of the flesh. But I just think this whole thing distorts it for men and women. And I think it's just destructive to relationships and people's self-image and people's image of each other.
I think it is. And Eric, I appreciate that call. I think beyond that, it is also a distorted image of the image of God. The image of God is not something that is external to us, as something that is for our appearance. It's rather the capacity that God makes in every single human being to know Him and to glorify Him through true beauty. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We'll be right back.
Is the best of the Albert Mueller Program.
Welcome back to Issues Cosmetic Surgery. In particular, what we're now seeing with women having what are called hand lifts, and the whole idea of aesthetic surgery, particularly the kind that is basically intended to deny the realities of age. The phone number is 877-893-8255. I've made some pretty strong comments about what I believe a Christian perspective on this ought to be, in terms of locating beauty within rather than without, and understanding age as a matter of respect and honor rather than as something to be cosmetically avoided. The phone number again to join the conversation is 877-893-TALK. We've got some folks calling on the line very quickly from Durham, North Carolina. Jeff's on the line, listening on XM 170. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Dr. Mueller, I appreciate your comments. I agree that God values internal or interior beauty more than external, and that plastic surgery and a lot of other things, evidence that people are, particularly women, are placing their hopes in wrong places. But I also think we need to balance the concerns you properly express with compassion and understanding that we were created perfect physical beings, and it is also an evidence of God's reality within us to dread death and to dread the decay that comes with aging.
Yeah, play that out just a little bit for me, Jeff.
Well,
I understand what you mean. I certainly feel a great deal of concern for people who, you know, want to do these things out of fear of death. I just want to make sure that we get your point as finely as you want to make it here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I think it's the issue is one of degree and not of principle, in that women use aging cream, anti-aging cream.
Yeah.
You know, where do you draw the line? And I think we just need to be careful and compassionate before wholesale condemning plastic surgery. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I just think we need to be careful. Where
yeah.
do we draw that line?
Well, I think that's a good point. That's why even in the beginning of this segment I tried to say we're talking particularly about these kind of elective procedures that are just aesthetic and just to avoid the appearance of aging. You know, there are a lot of surgeons out there whose business is plastic and reconstructive surgery. And, you know, if you think about someone who, for instance, has been in an injury or someone that perhaps has an issue from birth in which there are some major, you know, aesthetic issues from burn patients or someone like that, we're certainly thankful they're doctors with that kind of gift. It's the marketing of all of this in women's magazines and all the rest for persons who are otherwise healthy that I think is of grave concern to me. We have a plastic surgeon on the line, Jeffrey Skahn from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I do both cosmetic surgery and reconstructive surgery, probably about 50-50 split. I'm also a very devout Christian, and I have thought about this issue. I've been in practice now about 30 years. It does concern me more than it used to. I sometimes wonder, is this what God really means me to be doing with my life? But I would say it has a lot to do with expectations and what the person is trying to get out of their surgery. There are certainly some frivolous people who think it's going to totally change their life. Their husband will come back, they'll get a better job, their friends will like them more. And we, in our training, try to discern those people, because they are never going to be happy, no matter how perfect a job you do. There are other people who think of it more in terms of getting a new car or buying a new coat or something like that. They don't think it's going to give them anything other than what they're looking for, whether it's a tummy tuck or some liposuction or a facelift. And those people with realistic expectations are often some of the most grateful and happiest patients that we treat. They often come in with their spouse, who's very involved in the consultation and in the whole process, and both the patient and the spouse are often, as I say, very grateful, and just it gives them a new lease on life.
You know, Doctor, I appreciate not only the fact that you called, but frankly, a very thoughtful response to all of this, and we try to think about this issue. Let me just kind of pick up on something you said. If I heard you correctly, there are persons you think should not have these procedures because their expectations are not healthy and will not be fulfilled.
Their expectations are misplaced in that they think it's going to cure some sort of psychological problem that they have, rather than a purely physical one, that they're, you know, that the healthy patient is not obsessed with it. They just say, you know, I work out, I'm healthy, I'm in good shape, but I've got this little tummy that hangs down and it flops and it's uncomfortable, and I just love to get rid of it. You know, it's not a big deal, but I've worked hard, I can afford to do this. And those patients are what I call healthy cosmetic patients. They do well. They're invested in their results, and they're very grateful, and they sort of just go on life feeling a little bit more positive about themselves.
Doctor, while I've got you, I've got to ask you a question, and your call is just so well-timed for this, because there's one question that I think more than any other I wanted to ask someone who does what you do, a plastic and reconstructive aesthetic surgeon, and that is this. How do we know what beautiful really is? I mean, where do we, or do you, or does a patient get the idea of what one is supposed to look like?
Well, that's a very individual thing, and I learned many years ago not to make the mistake of trying to diagnose the problem before the patient opened their mouth, because that'll get you into big trouble. You may see a big Roman-type nose, and you start talking about noses, and they actually came in for their tummy tuck, and it's very embarrassing. But people have their own idea of what is beautiful and what is unsightly. And it is a very individual thing.
Well, that is a very interesting response to get. And I guess what I gain from that is that there's no picture, there's no catalog or something like this, that there's no ideal like the Greeks and the Romans had an ideal. Doctor, you have you've honored us with your call, and I think you've probably prompted a great deal of thought as well, and appreciate so much you adding to this conversation. Folks, we're going to have to go into a break. When we come back, we'll have some final thoughts. Just thinking about the most recent part of our conversation here, I really have to wonder, as I'm trying to think this through myself, how we come to a notion of what beauty is supposed to look like. Because, well, the doctor said it's very individual. I'm sure it is. But I think it's also in the background of some cultural expectations that we hold up. What you see on the billboards, the women on the covers of the magazines, and so many other things. And not only in so many cases is that not you, the reality is it's not anyone. It's not real. And I think that's deadly. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. I'm Albert Moeller.
This is the best of the Albert Moeller Program.
Welcome back. This has been a fascinating discussion, and I think it gets to so many key issues of which Christians ought to be aware and concerned. Let's go to Julie calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Julie.
Hello, Dr. Moeller. I believe that God allows us to go through the process of aging more than anything so that we will long for heaven way more than we do for this earth.
Well, I think that's a beautiful statement just in itself. And I think also when we think about restoration, that's another thing, Julie, and your call is really helpful in pointing that. We think about the restoration of our bodies. We think about, what it would mean for organs that have been diseased to be well again, for skin that has shown all the ravages, not only of life and experience and work and age, but sometimes also of injury and disease and all the rest. You just think about all the things, the eyes that have grown dim. You know, all you have to do is read some of the sections out of the book of Ecclesiastes, and boy, is that a reminder to us of how bad it can get just in terms of what age does to us. You know, all the way from the teeth, the eyes, the bones, the joints, and all the rest. But, Julie, you're right. It makes us long for heaven. But, you know, here's the promise of the Word of God. It's that we will, those who are in Christ, receive not only the resurrection of the body, but we will receive glorified bodies. In other words, we're going to be made as our embodied selves, the body that we know in some consistent way with the body we will one day be. We're going to be made perfect the way God intended from the very beginning that we should be made perfect. And, you know, in this life, none of us is perfect. Every single one of us has a body that is dying. Every single one of us has cells that are sloughing off. Every single one of us has skin that is growing older and eyes that are growing older and all of this happening, and within all of us, there are things that are within our bodies that we would certainly want to change. There's probably something about appearance that every single one of us would want to change. But if we changed it, in all likelihood, we wouldn't make it better. What will we look like when we are made perfect? I don't think it's going to be something you'll find in a cosmetic surgery catalog. I don't think it's going to be something that will stare back at you from the billboard or from the cover story, or for that matter, from the pornographic image. It's what is going to happen when God glorifies his saints in Christ, such that we are then what he always intended that we should be. We're going to find out what true beauty is. And again, it's going to be at the intersection of goodness and truth and reality and beauty, all the same thing. We're going to discover that whatever beautiful is, it's a reflection of God himself, and a reflection of God as he has shown himself to us in the incarnation in Jesus Christ the Son. He was despised and rejected of men, one as from whom men turn their faces. But oh, was he beautiful. And is he beautiful now? We'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. I'm Albert Moeller.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.